So we said that the Mittler Rebbe returned home, but even months later, the governor refused to, like, give in. And he was just trying to catch the Rebbe on any little small thing. On Chaf Aleph Kislev, 1827, this is 2 years after he was asked to come to Vitebsk for questioning, and 7 months after the governor himself sent his letter to the Senate explaining why, at least in his opinion, the lower charges should not be dropped, the case against the Mittler Rebbe finally came to its conclusion. And the Senate pronounced its decision that all charges of treason against the Rebbe were completely false, and the Mittler Rebbe was innocent. In spite of the good news, this did not bring any comfort to anyone, because as we're going to see right now, the Mittler Rebbe was nistalik 12 days earlier on Tes Kislev, on his birthday. Right? So Shkoyach, he's innocent. It's like, and if he's guilty, what are you going to do about it? The Rabbeim explained that the Mittler Rebbe's arrest was not a result of someone massering on him. That's how it happened in this world. But really, it's a result of accusations in Shemayim that he was teaching too much Chassidus. And the question is, since the Alter Rebbe's liberation took away this accusation, how could his son be accused of the same exact thing? In Shemayim, they already went through this, and the Alter Rebbe was freed, which means they allow it. And the answer is that just as the Mittler Rebbe publicized Chassidus way more than his father, and that was the problem. So yeah, in Shemayim, they gave permission to publicize Chassidus, but not like so much. And the Alter Rebbe was allowed to teach general concepts, not to go too deep into the details. The Mittler Rebbe went way beyond the Alter Rebbe's limits. And not only did he go into the depth of the concepts that his father taught, he also revealed many new ones that his father had not revealed. So once again, there was an accusation in Shemayim against the spreading of Chassidus. But this time, it was against the Mittler Rebbe. His liberation, however, so you could say, who cares if he was declared innocent or guilty? The fact that he was declared innocent is a sign from Shemayim that even this accusation was not good, and the teachings of Chassidus should be allowed to continue without any limitations. So what happened was the accusations on earth were also decided in his favor, and he was freed. And as soon as he was freed, like that he was allowed to go back to Lubavitch, he began saying Chassidus, again, in a tremendous amount. The Rebbe, our Rebbe, would point out in Fabrengens, if permission was given by the Beis Din and Shemayim, that means that even this amount of Chassidus is not considered a lot. If permission was given, it means that this amount of Chassidus is necessary. Not that, oh, you have permission to say a lot of Chassidus. You must learn a tremendous amount of Chassidus. Now, moving on to the histalkus of the Rebbe, the Mittler Rebbe. Now, we mentioned that Governor General Chavonsky had his personal reasons for the Mittler Rebbe's arrest, right, because of the bet that he made. So even though all the courts decided in the Rebbe's favor, he refused to sign on the document saying that he's innocent. On Rosh Chodesh Sivan, 1827, the governor general sent the court's findings and decisions together with his objections to the Russian Senate. Now, when the Mittler Rebbe heard that his case was going to be reviewed and decided by the Senate, he was scared that he might have to go to Petersburg to defend himself, and he really did not want to do that. In addition to his personal situation, that it was health reasons, this was also, if he was declared guilty, this would harm every single Yid in Russia. And the Mittler Rebbe was informed that the government was seriously considering to do its plan to basically start drafting Jewish boys into the army for 25 years of service. The Mittler Rebbe mentioned that 7 years earlier, at the wedding of his daughter, Reb Tzimbracha, he saw this gezeira was being considered in Shemayim. However, he was hopeful that because the Hasidim were learning so much Hasidus, it would get rid of the Gezeira. And he rejoiced that the government did not do it for these past 7 years. And his father, the Alter Rebbe, appeared to him and said, "Don't be happy. In Shemayim, the Gezeira is becoming stronger." This meant that the government was about to do it sooner or later. It was going to happen, which it did. And Taka, the Alter Rebbe himself, wrote about this Gezeira 8 years earlier in a letter to Reb Moshe Meisels. And he informed him about the vision that he had in Rosh Hashanah, about the ultimate victory for the Tsar. And he said, "And this is a sign for you that shortly the pleasure of your eyes," meaning me, the Alter Rebbe, "will be taken from you," he was hinting to his own Istalkus, "and the government will begin drafting Jews into the army." Now, this Gezeira became known as, we're going to speak about it a tremendous amount in the Tzemach Tzedek book, but it was known as the Cantonist Decree. Now, in addition to taking these teenagers to the army for 25 years, a lot of times they were kidnapped from a much younger age. So let's say, imagine you had to go to a Goyisha army, you're 18 years old, and you're going for 25 years. You are going to be how old when you get out? 42 years old. 43. Do you understand? Like, what kind of life are you going to have now? You forget all you're learning. And a lot of times it was worse. If they would kidnap the kid when he was 8 or 9 or 10, that means you had all those years of learning in Cheder gone. You're missing 8 years that you could have lived among the Jewish community. The kid gets taken to a place. A lot of times they'll take his sitter right away from him, and they'll take his talis, tzitzis, and yarmulke. What's he supposed to do? He's an eight-year-old living in the middle of nowhere. Anyways, the seriousness of both of these situations meant that the Mittler Rebbe felt that he has to go to Hadich in order to daven at his father's oil. And he was accompanied by his oldest son, Reb Menachem Nochem, and he began the long journey. However, he shocked the Hasidim. In each city, usually, if he would pass through a city, what would he do? Say a mimer. But over here, nothing. Not one mimer along the way. In addition, wherever he picked up a pen to write a mimer Chassidus, he wasn't able to write. Like Shemayim was stopping him. And everyone started to realize something is really going on in Shemayim. They arrived in Hadich in Elul in 1827. And shortly before Rosh Hashanah, that's when they arrived there, before Rosh Hashanah. And they remained there for the entire month of Tishrei. As soon as they arrived there, the Mittler Rebbe started saying Maimarim again at every possible situation. Now, on the way there, the Mittler Rebbe remarked to his son and the other Hasidim who were there, he said, "My father was 54 when he was first taken to Peterburg, when he was arrested. At that time, Beis Din Shalmaila gave him a choice. You could do pain and suffering or death. He chose suffering." How old is the Mittler Rebbe? He's 53. Now, he was about to turn 54 in a few months, and he was hinting to the Hasidim that since the Senate was considering calling him to Peterburg, that's pain and suffering, no longer available. The Alter Rebbe already chose that choice. And this meant the only choice left is death. One time, after davening for a very long time by his father's oil, he joyfully announced, "I successfully convinced my father to relieve me of being a Rebbe." Now, the Hasidim who lived there and who were allowed to come from nearby cities for Yom Tov, they didn't think it meant that he was about to be Nifter. They thought it meant he's going to move to Eretz Yisrael, because he said that he wanted to do that many times. And they cried out, he says, "The Rebbe is going to leave us like sheep without a shepherd?" He says, "Don't worry. My son-in-law, Harav Menachem Mendel, will be with you. He will be your trusted shepherd." Now again, their eyes, they're thinking the Rebbe plans on moving to Eretz Yisrael. They don't realize what's going on. And the Hasidim cried out. They said, "This can't happen. We will not allow the Rebbe to move away from us." And the Rebbe didn't answer. The Hasidim happily thought, okay, they convinced him to stay. But those who were looking at very carefully at the Rebbe's expression, they were able to see that, no, this is not what's going to be happening. Now, of course, the true and full meaning of what he was saying would be 6 weeks later, would be understood. Now, after Tishrei, the Mittel Rebbe left Hadich and he began his return to Lubavitch. After traveling about 200 miles, the Mittel Rebbe began feeling sick. Now, since they were on the road, there's nowhere to stop, they continued their trip with the hope that they could reach hoping he would feel better, or at least to reach a big city where there are doctors. Finally, they came to the city of Niezhin, where he stopped to rest. A few days later, it became evident that his illness was so serious that he had to stay in bed. He was unable to continue his journey. And thinking that he just needed rest, the doctors told him he's not allowed to do anything that would cause him to make him work hard. And this meant no saying my marm. And they hoped that this, you know, with complete rest, he'll recuperate, he'll gain his strength. But instead of improving, the Mittel Rebbe's signs got weaker. And he started going into semi-conscious state, like there were times that he was like unconscious. Now the greatest doctors in the area were called on Beis Kislev. Remember, Tes Kislev is the Istalkus. And they completed their examination and they were astounded. They said, we never saw someone in such a bad situation who's still alive. And we never saw such a thing. Usually if someone's this sick, they're usually not alive anymore. And one of the doctors said, his strength comes from saying Chassidus. Right now, he's like semi-conscious, but you're gonna see, if we allow him to say Chassidus, his chayis is gonna come back. And the doctor said, listen, it's not like he's getting any better now by not saying Chassidus. Let him try to say Chassidus. And so they went over, one of the doctors went over to him and said, Rebbe, you can say Chassidus. And when the Mittel Rebbe heard this, he opened his eyes and he slowly sat up and some color returning to his face. And he immediately instructed his gabbai that the Chassidus should be called to hear a mimer. First thing he wants. And when they arrived, in a weak voice, he said, I'm going to reveal secrets of the Torah that were never spoken about before. And you can imagine everyone there who is in the room, they right away lean forward to hear what he's going to say. And there was one chassid realized he's too far away. There's too many people there. So he climbs on top of a bunch of people. And because he was leaning over, his hat fell right on top of the Rebbe. And the Mittel Rebbe was silent for a moment. And he said, all right, this is a sign from Shemayim that I should not reveal what I was planning on revealing. Instead, I'll say a different mimer. And we do not know what he was going to reveal, obviously. And as the week continued, he said another mimer every day, but he never again spoke about the mimer that he mentioned that he was going to say. He never mentioned it again. Now, seeing the change in his condition, the doctors were amazed that he was able to sit up and speak, especially for such a long amount of time. And the chassidim became hopeful that the Rebbe's health was improving. And we'll continue with this next week.